All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I got a question. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because it's Grim's Hentai Corner, and we are back with Bible Black. Couple words before we get into this. Some of you may have not realized how deep into the occult this actually gets, and, you know, I know some of you guys are here just for the hentai content, but some of you, maybe of a religious mindset, might feel the need to back off of some of the stuff that's in here because, you know, they do go on to full rituals and they do the ceremonies, and a lot of the words and things that they use are very accurate to stuff that I've got in ceremonial magic books and stuff. So there was a lot of research done into this that's actually true to form. So if you guys don't want any of that involved, maybe you're worried about negative energies, anything like that, you know, I know how it is. You know, you probably just maybe want to skip past those scenes. And I will also do you a favor and not repeat those words myself, because I believe words have power. And sometimes you really don't need to speak even broken or illogical things like that, because you don't know what you're doing. So let's just go on ahead and go through it and enjoy Bible Black. And of course, if you see me not saying certain words and you kind of feel maybe the heebie-jeebies or something like that, you're like, oh, that's a little bit too much for me, man, then it's fine. You can bow out. But I'm just going to let you know that it's going to get crazier from here on out. So be ready for that. I speak to Mirai, who's still begging Psyche for help. Hey, I can try helping you out with that if you want. What? Really? Mirai is taken aback by my sudden offer of help and tries to confirm it. You can do that, Minase? But how? Just like Psyche, with magic. I turn towards Psyche when I say this. She's looking at me with suspicion in her eyes. Minase, you really shouldn't take on something like that on a whim. Besides, what do you hope to accomplish? Have you been influenced by those library books? She's dismissing me flat out, and I get a little angry. She's just too self-assured, as if there can't possibly be anyone else but her with that kind of ability. Don't think you're the only one who knows about magic. Hey, I bet I can at least do a better job than you, Psyche. I say this Psyche, point blank. I don't know what you intend to do, but don't think you can do anything just because you read a book with some pathetic level of power. Just shut up and watch, will you? I say this and go back to my seat. I take out my notes from the Book of Magic last night. From last night, rather. I select the page containing a relevant spell. Pardon me? I select the page containing a relevant spell, and I start preparing to cast it. What do you think you're doing, Minase? Imitating Psyche? Imari catches sight of what I'm doing and approaches. Keep your mouth shut, will you, Imari? Well, how dare you leave me out of the loop? I borrow scissors and a sheet of paper from Mirai, and I start cutting the paper into a human shape. Then I lay the paper doll on my desk. Psyche watches silently, her eyes suspicious. Okay, now prick your finger with a needle and write the first letter of the guy's name in your blood on this paper doll. This is blood magic. What do I have to do something like that? So I remember talking to a practitioner from Texas who told me blood magic was probably the strongest shit you could do. He said if you really, really want to get something done, do blood magic. But blood magic is just very deadly, dangerous shit. If you notice, like, there were actually 4chan stuff where they were doing blood magic when Ebola-chan came out, because people wanted the entire world to die. And it didn't necessarily work out that way, but maybe we can say that it came back in the form of the COVID. It's like a lot of people fucking died of that. Like, a lot. I don't know. Hard to say. A lot of old and fat people died. Yeah. I guess it weeded out the old and the frail. If you don't want to, we can stop right now. Alright, I'll do it. Mirai pricks her index finger with the tip of a safety pin and writes down a letter on the paper doll with her blood. Is this alright? That's fine. Alright, let's begin. I take the paper doll from her and utter the following words over it. Now, both of those are demons, and the lesser key, you'll find both of them. Of course, they've also been black metal and death metal bands as well. And then I lay it back down on my desk. I take a deep breath and recite the words I wrote down in my notes. Now some of you might be like, oh wow, you know, that kind of sounds like Persona stuff, right? Or Shin Megami Tensei stuff. Well yeah, they took a lot of inspiration from Shin Megami Tensei from the occult. You know, you were summoning demons. Well, you were summoning demons. So yeah, it calls the regions of the east, west, south, and north, yeah. Now that was always for protection. That's why those regions are called. Because you're not supposed to just go and do an incantation. You're supposed to call guardians to watch you, you know, because there's all kinds of shit that wants to get in when you're opening that veil. Notice the name of the Almighty Adonai. That's very important. Adonai, of course, is God. In the ceremonial book I had, there's a lot of names for God. Adonai, Jehovah, you know, names that you'll see in here. It's very important. Because all this stuff goes back to King Solomon. That's why you have the greater and lesser key of Solomon. No, these are names, different names for God. Adonijah, Tetragrammaton, which is the voice of God. All this sort of thing. Elohim, of course, we know that. Yeah, I mean, it was very, very important to acknowledge the Hebraic God. Very, very big part of this, because again, it goes back to King Solomon. King Solomon had a ring on his finger that had the names of God inscribed, and he could use it to control angels. Kaori Saiki is dumbfounded after having watched me complete all these tasks. Seeing the look on her face, I'm filled with smugness. I'll bet Saiki never dreamed I'd use this kind of magic. I continue to intone the spell, and when I've done everything I'm supposed to do, I take a deep breath and hand Mirai the paper doll. That's it. Now all you have to do is take this and hide it in the guy's shoe or something. For real? You mean my wish will come true now? Probably, yeah. I can't really be sure, but if this doesn't work, then it will mean that the book has no power. That book has no power. For me, it's a gamble. If nothing comes of this, I'll have set myself up for ridicule. But I don't care. Oh. Too far. Either way. I'm gonna try it out right now. Thanks, Minase. After thanking me, Mirai rushes out of the room. So what did you think of my magic? I look straight at Saiki as I ask her this. Where did you learn to cast a spell like that? I really don't think it's from reading those books in the library. Well, hey, I really don't remember. Didn't you tell me that you didn't believe in magic? It was just a diversion for me. I'm pretty indecisive about things anyway. Even so, you can't expect to get results after blindly performing a ceremony, not a symphony. Magic's not that simple. There are complex rituals and protocols to follow. Only then can you accomplish anything. Aren't you saying that because you're still just a beginner? I go back to my seat, humming a little to myself as I catch a glimpse of Saiki, who's practically biting her lip in frustration. Man, it feels so good. I've never seen that cool as a cucumber Saiki look so frustrated before. Now if that spell works, it'll be the coup de grace. If you get her hopes up with that stunt you just pulled, well, don't come running to me if she trashes you later on. Amari, who's been watching my exchange with Mirai, says this with a sigh of exasperation. Oh, just watch. Actually, I'm not even sure myself if it's gonna work. Just because the first spell worked didn't mean that the second would. But anyway, there was nothing I could do now but wait and see. Lunchtime. Dud, dud, dud. I'm just sitting there at my desk looking off into space as usual when Mirai suddenly comes running up to me. Minase, thank you so much. As soon as the words are out of Mirai's mouth, Saiki turns to stare at me. Mirai has an elated smile on her face as she thanks me over and over, practically throwing her arms around me. Hey, calm down, will you? What the hell happened anyway? Just listen to me. Thanks to you, everything turned out just great with that guy. I thought it was hopeless, but what an unexpected twist. Oh shit. Sorry, folks. I thought it was hopeless, but what an unexpected twist after you cast that spell. Well, good for you, I guess. Mirai's excitement is kind of overwhelming, and that's all I can manage to say, but I never thought that spell would take hold so fast. Well, listen to this. Just now I happened to pass him in the hall. All of a sudden he told me that he was in love with me. Before I could even tell him how I felt, it was unbelievable. And that's not all. His girlfriend was right next to him, but he blurted it out anyway. Can you believe that? Oof. I never saw anyone look as stunned as she did. Pretty pathetic, huh? Getting dumped in front of all those people. I can't believe what an evil woman I am. My own beauty terrifies me. Mirai has an enthralled look on her face. She's totally in her own world right now. Hey, Mirai? Oh, no you don't, Minase. No use falling for me, too. Oh, but to think that once again I've bewitched a man. Oh, God in heaven, please forgive me for my sins. So saying, Mirai leaves. She's so overjoyed, it must have driven her over the edge. Congratulations, Minase. You must be feeling pretty good about yourself. After Mirai leaves, Kaori Saiki comes up to me and delivers this sarcastic remark, but I can clearly see the hostility in her eyes. Hey, that was nothing really. I mean, it could have just been a coincidence. I answer her modestly, because I know that that'll be more effective. Of course it was. It could only have been a coincidence. Saiki hurls this last remark at me and flounces away in a huff. She's pretty shaken up alright. She's always so cool-headed, and yet here she was now, irrational and bearing her emotions. I feel someone's cold stare. Next thing I know, Amari's standing right next to me. What do you want, Amari? Nothing. That's what she says in reply, but Amari's eyes are like knives boring right through me. If you have something to say, say it. Well, I hate to kind of splash cold water in your proud moment, but... I don't know. That kind of thing just doesn't sit well with me. What do you mean? You know, trying to manipulate another person's feelings with a curse like that? It's really in poor taste, even if it was just a joke. How rude of her to call it a curse. Anyway, try not to get too caught up in weird stuff, will ya? Everyone's gonna start looking at you funny. If they start seeing you as some kind of freak, that'll make me the best friend of a freak, you know. Well, thanks for the warning. Bell rings. Just then the bell rang, signaling the beginning of my next class. At the same time, our classmates start shuffling into the room. I sit at my desk and start to think. Really, the book's power is unbelievable. Now there is no question that its power is for real. Yesterday's incident and what happened just now, they were both undeniably my doing. Absolute power, so people's destinies can actually be twisted so easily. After witnessing all this before my own eyes, I can understand why those girls from 12 years ago got so obsessed with demons and black magic, since I can feel myself getting more and more drawn to it myself. Still, while some of us revel in the effects of this magic, there are also victims who are suffering from them. Even so, if used effectively, this was a highly attractive power to have. Hold on, it's not like I have to use it on others. I could just as easily use it for my own personal profit. If I were to use this magic myself... That's it. If I use it, then I can have any beautiful girl I want. A man's dream come true. No way am I not gonna try this out. For better or worse... I don't have a girlfriend. Actually, there is just one person who might fit that description, but there's nothing between Amari and me. We're just childhood friends. Here's the evidence. We've never done it! Alright, why don't I give this power a spin myself? Farewell, lonely days, and hello, springtime of youth. Okay, that's decided. Oops, excuse me. Now, who should I cast my spell on? That's actually a great idea. If I can use magic to make Amari mine to boss around, Amari will do whatever I say. She won't be able to resist me. She'll be just like a slave. And that would be ideal. Amari, as she is right now, holds no excitement for me. And she's not the type I go for, so if I just change her to my liking, every morning she'll wake me up with a kiss. Wait, or else we could go to bed together every day. That might not be too bad. We'll be naked together, my skin touching hers, and then we wake up and go to school together, like a married couple. Before any of that can happen, we do have to go to the next level as lovers. Sex with Amari. I've never even considered it. Since Amari likes dogs and is an animal lover in general, maybe she'll like doing it doggy style. I'll verbally assault her by saying, "You bitch," and keep ramming her from behind over and over. I better get hold of a choke collar and tail for her. Damn. Wait, or maybe I'll have more fun housebreaking her. I could lash her mercilessly with a whip and drip candle wax onto her. Oh, and let's not forget rope. I'll bind her up like a hunk of boneless ham and then kick the hell out of her. Jesus. Since I'm always getting it from her, I'm going to feel great to get... It's going to feel great to get back at her like that. Ha ha ha, how cool will that be? Hey, I've got no time to lose. I get up from my seat and start to leave the classroom. Where do you think you're going? The first bell just rang. I'll be right back. That's what I tell her as I leave the room. I head towards the roof. I'm pretty sure there won't be anyone there now. Just you wait, Amari. Starting tomorrow, you're gonna be my slave. Ha ha ha! I rush up to the stairs to the roof with laughter brimming inside me. Oh, hold on. Did I go to the wrong ending? Hold on. No, I did it right. Okay. At this hour, there's no one up here. Okay, no one's around. I make sure I'm alone and then start preparing for my ceremony. First, I cut out a paper doll, like I just did now. Take a safety pin from my pocket and pierce my fingertip. At the same time, I scroll out an initial with my blood, then intone the spell. I'm able to finish the spell effectively. I grip the piece of paper I've just imbued with power. I'm all set. Now I just have to give this to her. I think about the rosy future that awaits me, and I can't help but smile. Long live black magic if this spell works. I lose myself in images of what's to come, then leave the roof half-skipping. When I return to the classroom, the teacher still hasn't arrived. I'm pretty much out of breath, probably because I ran all the way back. I head towards my seat. Where have you been? Nowhere special. I take the piece of paper from my pocket, making sure Amari doesn't see me, and I stare at her in silence. What is it? Is there something on my face or something? You've got a nose hair sticking out. What? No way! Hearing this, Amari grabs a little mirror from her bag and frantically searches her face. Where is it? Without missing a beat, I place the paper doll inside Amari's bag. Come on, there isn't anything there. Amari yells at me, taking her eyes off the mirror. Looks like she didn't notice what I just did. Sorry. You know I was just kidding. Whack. I don't believe you. Besides, I don't have any hairs in my nose anyway. Amari is spitting the words out at me, her face red. Look, the teacher's here. I look over just as the teacher enters the classroom. I start to head back to my desk. Don't fall in love with me now. That's my parting shot to Amari. As if I would, moron. Do you have some kind of fever or something? Haha, this'll be the last day you'll... Hold on. This is the last day you'll be able to dare to speak to me like that. You don't even know that tomorrow you'll be... What? You don't even know that tomorrow you'll be groveling at my feet. I rub my cheek where Amari slapped me. I can't stop smirking. Seeing me in this state, the girl next to me looks creeped out. Bell rings. Okay, school's out. Of course you're coming to the club meeting, aren't you? Actually, you're coming no matter what. The final bell rings, and Amari comes over to me as I'm getting ready to leave. Needless to say, I have no choice. I could say no, or I could try to lie my way out of it, but she's determined to drag me there today. Since I ditched yesterday, I don't have a chance of escaping again today. Okay. All right. I just have to go, right? As long as that's clear. Now then, shall we, Vice President? So saying, Amari grips me by the arm and starts heading briskly towards the art room. Dragging sound. Come on, walk a little faster, will you? Excuse me? What do you want? I was just wondering where we're going. Where do you excuse me, what do you mean where? The art room, of course. Huh? Amari whirls around and realizes with horror that she's gripping the hand of a student she doesn't even know. Who are you? Where's Minase? I don't know. The girl's been dragged through the hall by Amari, tilts her head helplessly. Quiver. I'm gonna kill him! When in the world did he change places with her? I've escaped Amari's clutches and I'm making my leisurely way down the hall, headed for home. I know I'm screwing Amari over, but there just isn't a good enough reason for me to immerse myself in club meetings. Once a week is enough. After all, the only benefit of being in a cultural tight club is no one really cares if you skip. Besides, soon enough, Amari won't be able to rebel against me, and when that happens, I'll be free of Amari's control. Free to do whatever I want. If I had nothing better to do, I guess I wouldn't mind going along with Amari's crap. But unfortunately, I'm not gonna have much free time on my hands. I hurry towards the gates. If I dawdle, there's a chance Amari could capture me again. Huh? Stop it, please. That's enough. Just be quiet and come with me. The captain wants to talk to you. Just then I hear voices. Some girls are headed my way from the hall. I see two girls dragging a third girl with them, and this girl is trembling like a frightened little kitten. The girl has on a swimsuit. Apparently all three of them are swim team members. Our school has a heated indoor pool, and the swim team is one of the most active of our school clubs. But the pool's next door to the gym. They're going in the opposite direction. Could this be a form of hazing? I knew there was a lot of that going around in some clubs. I realize I know the girl they're dragging away. Her name is Miyuki Nonagusa. We were in the same class back in high school. I used to bully her too, calling her Nagoso. Nagoso is someone who shits outside. Probably because of her personality, she often falls prey to that sort of cruelty. The snotty girl torturing Nonagusa is Shinobu Kobayashi, the swim team captain. She's a straight-A student. In other words, one of the super show-off girls in our school. She's accompanied by swim team members wherever she goes. She's a smug, nasty witch of a girl. I wonder if the other girl with her is just one of the members of the team. I start watching them and what they're doing. Come on, get inside! The girls open the door to a classroom and shove Nonagusa inside. Then they slam the door shut. I want to know what's going on, so I stand in front of the door and try to hear what's going on inside. No, stop it! Just shut up! What do you mean by this, bringing me here? If we don't hurry, we'll be late for practice. Who cares about practice? Can't you do as your captain says? From inside the classroom, I can hear desks and chairs being tossed about, and the loud voices of the girls inside. It all seems very ominous. No way is this your average friendly club meeting. I quietly slide open the door and peer inside. The room is empty except for the two girls in the corner, both ganging up on a third girl. They're clearly abusing her. Girl fights are a scary thing. But what did I ever do to you? What you did to me, you know exactly what. No, I don't. I don't remember ever doing anything to deserve this. I hear you're going to represent our school in the next meet. Congratulations. Kobayashi fixes Nonagusa with a cruel stare as she starts to speak. Nonagusa is trembling with fear like a frog is being eyed by a snake. You must really be feeling good about yourself. How does it feel to have beaten me? Oh please, I don't feel that way at all. Oh, really now? So I guess I'm not even worth gloating over? You never saw me as a rival then, did you? I see now. I never said that. Nonagusa protests almost in tears. You really pissed me off, you know. You didn't even join the team until sophomore year. You're so full of yourself. I should be in that meet, but because of you... As Kobayashi shouts these words, she starts kicking Nonagusa over and over. Ouch, that hurts. Stop it. Just quit the team, why don't you little eyesore? That's too cruel. You just make things harder for the rest of us, don't you get that? What are you talking about? I'm just doing my best to... That's what's such a pain in the butt for us. So anyway, you better quit. Quit, got that? But no, I can't do that. I know I have no intention of quitting. Nonagusa tells Kobayashi this in no uncertain terms. Is that right? Fine then. In that case, I'll make you quit if it takes everything I've got. Mikimoto, ready? The crony named Mikimoto nods her head and quickly steps behind Nanagosa. What are you doing? Mikimoto grabs the flailing Nanagosa and pins her down. Then she takes a roll of masking tape and binds Nanagosa hand and foot. Nanagosa frantically tries to escape, but she has no chance against the two of them. You're so cruel. What are you going to do to me? In no time, Nanagosa is immobile, and they push her to the floor. I'm warning you, if you fight back, it's going to be painful. So saying, Kobayashi takes something out of the bag her friend was holding. Seeing what Kobayashi has in her hand, Nanagosa yelps in fear. Kobayashi is holding a huge vibrator because of course she is. No, somebody, please! The instant she sees it, Nanagosa starts screaming. Shut up, you! Oop, hold on. Kobayashi removes her socks and stuffs them in Nanagosa's mouth. Eat my socks, bitch! You're gonna get a feast down there, too. Ha ha ha. Gripping sound. Mikimoto grabs her by the chest and peels the swimsuit down to her cleavage. In that instant, her shapely bust spills out, freed from the confines of the swimsuit. What lovely nipples. I could practically eat them. So saying, Kobayashi grabs both of Nanagosa's nipples and starts twisting them. Hey, Mikimoto, why don't you loosen her up down there, too? Alright, Captain. Mikimoto starts rubbing Nanagosa hard between her legs. Oh, well, yeah, I'm not gonna do that. Nanagosa begins to rise from the friction. Her nipples are starting to stand up. How's it going down there? I'm starting to get a reaction in this area, too, Captain. Oh, then why don't you start peeling her? Hearing this, Mikimoto grabs the cloth covering Nanagosa's groin and pushes it to the side hard. This exposes Nanagosa's pulp of a vulva. In the center, I can see her pinkish as of yet unviolated crevice. Yours hasn't seen much use yet. Don't you masturbate regularly? Kobayashi starts feeling up Nanagosa between the legs with her fingers. You're not really getting wet, Mikimoto? Baby lotion. Mikimoto does as she's told, fetching some baby lotion from her bag and handing it to Kobayashi. This is some extra service for you. Kobayashi starts smearing the baby lotion over the vibrator, heaping it on thoroughly with a vulgar motion. Okay, here we go. With a nasty little smile, Kobayashi grips the vibrator and brings it closer and closer to Nanagosa's vulva. You'd never get to see such a sight in a million years. I feel guilty, but even so, I can't take my eyes off of it. In this situation, I can't butt in, or else things would get too complicated. Sorry, Nanagosa. Nanagosa starts frantically writhing, trying to escape. It's no use. No one's coming. Just give in. The vibrator inches ever closer to her vulva until the last tip. At last, the tip is pressed against it. It's a weird-looking vibrator. Yelps. Nanagosa tries to resist entry of this foreign object by putting all her strength in her lower stomach. Are you ready? Here I go! At the same time, she exerts pressure on the vibrator. The huge glistening tip of the vibrator forces her crevice open. Now, you've got to do better than that or it's going to go all the way in. Slither, slither. Ha ha ha. It's going in. It's going in. Slither, slither. Oh my, I think it just tore your hymen. So you were a virgin. Was it wrong of me to do this then? Blood starts trickling from the vibrator, which is jammed deep inside Nanagosa's vagina. But still, it's not everyone who gets an electric orgasm for their very first time. Lucky you. Ha 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 ha. Mikimoto, let's get a photo. Yes, Captain. Mikimoto has a Polaroid camera in her hands and snaps a picture of Nanagusa in this vulgar state. Snap. Snap. Mikimoto snaps photo after photo and hands the results spit out by the camera to Kobayashi. Kobayashi takes each picture, waving each in the air, and gazes at the emerging images of Nanagusa in her vulgar position. I don't know, there's something missing. Mikimoto, why don't you stick something up her ass, too? Yes, Captain. Mikimoto starts rooting around in her bag and pulls out a travel-sized bottle of deodorant spray. How about this? It's just the right size and thickness. Go on, stick it in. Just as she did before, Mikimoto smears baby lotion all over the spray bottle and presses it against Nanagusa's anus. Nanagusa is still in shock from what just happened, and lies there simply in a daze. If you strain yourself, it will hurt. Without hesitation, she shoves it straight up Nanagusa's asshole. As soon as her ass is pierced, Nanagusa spasms as if she's had an electric shock. Nanagusa wriggles desperately, trying to dislodge it from her anus, and the object protruding from her ass jiggles accordingly. Ah ha 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 ha, such a pathetic sight. I'm sure you hate to have anyone see you like this. Nanagusa doesn't seem to be able to hear what she's saying. She's staring at the two objects protruding from both sides of her lower body in a daze. Disgusting. Why don't you take a look at yourself? Nanagusa silently listens to the words of ridicule, tears filling her eyes. Well, we've got some great pictures. You can have one as a keepsake. Looking over at each of the photos, Kobayashi selects one and lays it on top of Nanagusa's body. If you don't want these photos circulating all over the place, get your butt off our swim team. Let's go, Mikimoto. The two girls loosen the tape that's binding Nanagusa. They then start to leave the room, leaving Nanagusa behind. I dash into the classroom next door to hide. The door opens. You don't think she'll tell on us, do you? Don't worry, as long as we've got these photos, she won't do anything stupid. I want to treat you to something for helping me out. Let's go to a cafe. What about practice? Oh, it won't matter for a little late. Come on, let's go. Still talking, the two girls walk slowly past the classroom where I've hidden. I make sure they're gone, then step out into the hall. I ended up watching the whole thing until the end. Those damn girls, how could they gang up on Nanagusa and treat her so cruelly? Now that's what you'd call a crime. Although I'm in no position to judge them since I just stood there and watched them do it. Alright, what should I do now? Should I help Nanagusa or else? Hang on, if you really think about it, I've got Nanagusa's ultimate vulnerability in the palm of my hand. If I use it to my advantage, I might get something really amazing out of it. If I appear in front of Nanagusa right now, she won't refuse me. I can always save her afterwards. All I could think about right now is having her give me relief from my pent-up lust. Besides, it would be better for me to get something out of it too, rather than save her for free. It's pretty low taking advantage of her when she's vulnerable, but I convince myself that it's just my just reward. After all, I'm gonna rescue her, so why shouldn't I enjoy myself a little first? I open the door quietly and slowly approach Nanagusa where she lies in the deserted classroom. Nanagusa is still crumpled on the floor where the other girls left her. She spits out the saliva-drenched sock from her mouth and rips away the tape binding her arms and legs, crying all the while. Ugh, how could they be so cruel? Sobbing, Nanagusa tries to extract the vibrator from her vulva. Oh, it slides out. There's blood and other bodily fluids all over the vibrator. Now for this side. So saying, she pulls out the object stuck in her anus. The can of deodorant has been shoved deeply in her ass. But she finally manages to pull it out. Oh, please, she throws the can that had been up her ass onto the floor. Clang, clang. This is when she finally notices I'm there and turns to look at me. Who's there? Our eyes meet. As soon as she sees me, the blood drains from her face. Minase. She says this when she sees me. Don't tell me you were watching. I was. I speak quietly and calmly. Oh. Hearing this, she lets her head drop and whispers. I see, so I had an audience, ha ha ha. This is really funny, huh? Ha ha ha. She says those words sadly, tears dripping down her face. If I'd known this was gonna happen, I never would have joined the swim team. After all my hard work, and just look what happened. Nanagusa begins to sob again, desperately trying to wipe away the tears pouring from her eyes. Want me to help you? I play devil's advocate to the sobbing Nanagusa. But you can't. Now that they have those horrible photos of me, there's nothing we can do. Who knows what they'll do with them if I make any kind of move. But don't you want to make them pay for what they did? Of course I do. Look what they did to me. Nobody in their right mind would just let something like this go. There's no way that I can make them pay. Kobayashi's got the whole swim team under her thumb. If I try to get revenge, who knows what they do to me next time. Inwardly, I smirk. I'll help you if you want. If you want me to, I'll make those two pay for what they did to you. But can you really do that? Yeah, I promise you. And in return, I let my gaze wash over Nanagusa's body. After witnessing that scene just now, I've gotten to the point where I can barely control my lust. This is just a transaction. I'll grant her wish if she grants mine. Alright, I'm not gonna really care anymore, whatever you do to me. If I can get back at those two, I'll even sell my soul to the devil. Nanagusa knows exactly what I have in mind and willingly offers herself to me. Go ahead, you can have your way with me, Minase. Make me forget the horrible things they did to me. When I hear her say this, I shove her to the floor in a delirium. I get on top of her and tug her swimsuit down to her legs. Massaging Nanagusa's exposed breasts, I suck on her nipples. I'm enjoying the sensation of her nipples in my mouth. This is embarrassing. Nanagusa whispers this as she turns red, watching me suckle her breasts. I rub my tongue over her nipples, then start fondling her between the legs with my other hand. With my fingers, I trace along the crevice in her vulva. My fingers grasp the protuberance and I fondle it. That feels really good! I can't hold it in any longer. Is it okay if I put it in you now? I can't hold it in anymore. She says, wait, first I want to see yours too, Minase. She blushes as she whispers to me.
Mitan desho. Dakara, watashi mo mitai no, Minase-kun no.
You saw mine, didn't you? That's why I want to show me yours too. Or I want you to show me yours too. Because I've never seen a guy's before. Alright. I do my best to restrain myself and take off my shirt and pants. I stand over her. Then I pull my swollen penis from my shorts. It was bigger and more erect than usual. I could ejaculate at any moment. Revealed before Nanagusa's eyes, the pinkest tip is swollen tight and throbbing in time with my pulse. Can I touch it? Nanagusa asks me timidly, staring right at my huge throbbing prick. I nod yes. Nanagusa brings her slender hand closer and closer to my penis. She touches my hot, fired-up penis, then closes her fingers around it. It's hot. After taking in the sensation for a moment, she suddenly starts moving her hand up and down as if the idea just struck her. Oh! The sensation makes me tremble all over. Do you like that? I'm blown away by the stimulation. It's nothing like when I do it to myself. Slope, slope, slope. Nanagusa is carried away by what she's doing also. Thanks to the sweet rhythm of the friction from her hand, my pleasure reaches new heights. Since I can't control the stimulation, I'm suddenly ready to ejaculate. Uh-oh, this isn't good. Don't do it so harder. I'll come. I do everything I can to hold back, but to no avail. I release the torrents of semen inside me. Huh? Ejaculating. At that moment, a stream of white liquid spurts onto Nanagusa's face. Shooting out liquid. My testicles are pushed upward and the semen is milked out of them, over and over. It goes on for quite a while, probably because I was aroused for so long. I stare at my own semen squirting noisily against Nanagusa's face and give in to the sweet pleasure of it all. Squish, squish, squish. Nanagusa never stops what she's doing, even when I'm ejaculating. With every pump of her hands, the semen in my urethra sprays out. When I'm finished at last, I heave a sigh. I messed up. I actually came before I even got it inside her. That was a lot, huh? She scoops up some of the semen on her body and licks it with her tongue. Weird taste. Sorry. I look at the vast amount of semen I sprayed her with and I apologize. That's alright. It's just my swimsuit anyway. I'll get cleaned up in the pool. That's kind of gross too. Yeah, it really is. Do you want to try it again, the real way? She's considered enough to say this, seeing my still erect penis. It's embarrassing, but even after that massive ejaculation, my prick is still hard. If you don't mind, I climb on top of Nanagusa. Go ahead, stick it in. It's not my first time, but hearing this, I place my penis on her crevice. Ready? I see her nod, then thrust my hips forward. Insertion. Probably because there's like still some lotion in there, my penis slips inside her like butter. As I thrust forward, my penis is enveloped by her hot flesh. Since I've just ejaculated, I'm extra sensitive, and the intense pleasure nearly blows me away. I stop thrusting when I penetrate her up to the base of my penis. I can feel her body temperature between my legs. It feels gentle as well as stimulating. You can move. It won't hurt me. I start grinding slowly. Nanagusa's breast, just the right size, jiggle in time with my thrusts. I watch the way her breasts move as I continue with my clumsy thrusts. Even though I've just ejaculated, I'm soon ready to come again. Squish, squish, squish. Every time our bodies rub together, you can hear the lewd sound of our bodily fluids mixing together, heaving. Underneath me, Nanagusa is swaying in time to my thrusts, and she lets out a heavy sigh. I gaze down at her. Suddenly, my body's racked with an unbearable desire to let it all out. Sorry, I'm gonna come now. I continue grinding as I tell her this. Alright, you can just come inside me. That's a bad idea. Huh? Go ahead, there's nothing to worry about. You don't have to hold back. Let out as much as you want. As soon as I hear her say this, I'm even more aroused and I come all at once. Ejaculating, I jam my hips against her body and release everything into her deepest depths. Nanagusa goes rigid from her first experience of feeling someone come inside her. Cum shooting out. At the same time, I feel my penis tighten, and after sobbing against her a few times, I continue to release my semen inside her. With everything that had been pent up inside of me is finally spent, I slowly remove my penis from her. As soon as I pull out, all the semen that's pulled inside her vagina comes pouring out. It's a lot of semen and it's all frothy. It drops down and soils the floor. Nanagosa is exhausted, her shoulders heaving. Thank you. So saying, she straightens her swimsuit and stands up slowly. I put my uniform back on, too. I don't know, I feel better now. I can see that her face does look more relaxed. Okay, just like I promised, I'm gonna bring those two to justice for treating you so horribly. What are you gonna do? Hey, just wait and see. I'm gonna get those photos back for you too. I smirk as I tell her this. Then I leave her there in the classroom. I head towards the swim team's changing room. I know they're not gonna be back for a while. I approach the changing room and I put my hand on the doorknob. Click! Is anyone here? I whisper these words to make sure no one's inside. Then I go in and lock the door behind me. At the same time, I lock the door on the other side leading to the pool. No one can come in. Then I get right to work. I search for their lockers and look inside. Their lockers aren't locked. Actually, the locks on most of their lockers are broken. I find their bags right inside their lockers. I take out their bags and start searching. I find what I'm looking for at once. A Polaroid camera and photos. As photos show Nanagusa in a most vulgar light, I put them in my pocket. There's still some film left in the camera. I think I'll use this camera to take photos of those girls in a compromising position. In order to set my plan in motion, I remove their swimsuits from their bags. I take a magic marker from my pocket and remove the cap. Let's see. I think I wrote down the charm somewhere. I take my notes from my inner pocket and find the appropriate talisman. Then I turn their swimsuits inside out and copy the charm onto their area over their crotches. Scratch, scratch. Inside each circle, I draw a triangle formed from the lines and the names of gods. Around the circle, I write a passage from Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, or said unto them, rather, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, in Latin. When I'm done drawing the charms on both of their swimsuits, I put them back in their bags inside their lockers. I just hope it works. I borrow the camera and hide in the storage closet. Now all I have to do is wait for those two to come back. I was a little worried that they might not return, but the fact that they'd left their bags was proof that they were coming back. Besides, I'd heard that they were going to practice even if they were late. I wait patiently. 15 minutes go by. Suddenly I hear the door open. Click. Alright, we're gonna switch gears and swim hard now. Right. You've the top spot to represent our school is as good as ours. I know that little bitch will quit the swim team. That's her punishment for humiliating me. Now this is just between you and me, got that? Yes, of course. Still talking, the two girls head for their lockers and start changing. I can hear the rustle of their clothing. After a while, the sounds stop as if they'd finished changing. Then I hear their lockers slamming shut. Quietly, I take a peek at them. Hey, aren't you a little hot? Now that you mention it. My swimsuit's sticking to me. I can clearly hear their labored breathing. Sounds like everything's going according to my plan. Hey, I feel a little strange. Me too. Mikimoto. Stop it, please, Captain. If somebody sees us like this... Don't worry, I locked the door. Besides, no one would be coming back from practice for a while. But... Come on now, take it off. I'm taking off mine too. This is an order from your captain. I could tell by the sound of it that they were trying to remove their swimsuits. In the midst of the suggestive conversation and the sounds of their heavy breathing, I gulp hard and peer out at what they're doing. Lick me, Mikimoto, she says. Lick slurp. Ah, that feels so good. I see Mikimoto pressing her mouth against Kobayashi's crotch. Kobayashi is enraptured by the sensation. She's trembling all over for the excitement. She says, suck some more. Come on, use your tongue. That's right, you're doing great. Put your tongue inside. Look away. Everything that comes out. Well, you... Oh, that's it. You've got it. Slurp, slurp, slurp. Lewd sucking sounds and labored breathing alternate. It's like a depraved melody. The two girls are totally caught up in their own world, engrossed in what they're doing to each other. I can see that the talisman is working. Two girls, not only that, but in a place like this without even hesitating. For them to engage in lewd contact like this, normally it would never happen. Unless, of course, these two had done this before. Well, how am I down there? Do you like the taste? How the hell could it taste good? With that thought in mind, I go on staring at them. Yes, it's good, she says. With all that juice flowing out, your pussy is so delicious. You're so sweet. Hey, now let's both feel good. With this suggestion, Kobayashi places Mikimoto under her and covers her with her own body. Alright, let's rub ourselves against each other. Alright, please, Captain, do what you will. You're so toned down there. It feels so good. You must really be aroused. Did it excite you that much, licking me like that? Yes. Oh, ah, she says. Kobayashi and Mikimoto continue to rub up against each other and are in the throes of ecstasy. At the same time, they're pressing their breasts against each other and their nipples are entangled. Mikimoto's breasts are mushing under Kobayashi's weight. I watch silently as those erect nipples are kneaded and twisted. That's it. I want you to rub harder against me with your hips. It feels so good, Captain. I can come any time. Hold it in a little longer. Let's make ourselves feel even better first. Squish, squish, squish. So saying, Kobayashi starts grinding her hips even harder. The juice comes gushing out from between their legs. It's running together, giving off a squishing sound each time they rub up against each other. The juice streams down Mikimoto's ass and drips into the floor. Damn, it's making me horny as all get out. I just come a few minutes ago and here I was, getting another boner from watching these two have intercourse. The sight of two girls entwined in such an erotic way, it was new for me and so provocative. But then I remembered I had a job to do and clutched the Polaroid camera tightly. The reason I'm here is to get a picture of what's going on right now and save Nanagusa. The point will be lost if I don't get the damn picture. That's what I tell myself as I try to calm my throbbing groin. Slowly, I exit the storage locker. Lucky for me, the two girls are so lost in ecstasy they don't even notice me. Now's my chance. I approach the girls, my camera turned on them as I advance. That's right, keep that up. This is unbelievable, she says. I frame them in my viewfinder and press the shutter. Snap. Huh? Who the hell's there? I pull out the photo that's just been spit out and take another shot. Hey, don't mind me. Go on. I don't believe it. You're taking pictures. How'd you get in here? What the hell do you think you're doing? Still lying vulva to vulva and grinding away, the two girls snarl at me. Now, calm down, will you? Captain, please stop doing that with your hips or else he's gonna get another picture of us like this. Mikimoto's words bring Kobayashi to her senses and she tries to move away from the other girl. What's going on? I can't stop thrusting. No way! Ah! Contrary to Kobayashi's will, her body continues to grind relentlessly in pursuit of further ecstasy. That's good, just keep that up. I egg them on and keep taking pictures until there's no more film left. Snap, snap. Wow, I got a lot of great pictures. You sure look like... Pardon. You sure look like a couple of idiots in these. Give them to me. No way. What do you want? If it's money you're after, I'll give you a little. I don't want your money. Then what do you want from us? I'll show you how it's done. So saying, I dropped my pants and approached them. What the hell do you think you're doing? No, stop! You just did something like this to Nonagosa, didn't you? What the? Don't tell me that little bitch put you up to this. Good question. Anyway, if you guys don't want these pictures all over school, you better do as I say. So saying, I push my erect penis against Kobayashi's anus. These two are in need of severe punishment. I don't think even what I'm about to do to them will be enough. No, not there! Without hesitation, I force my swollen penis up her narrow anus. Shoving noises. Kobayashi shoulders as she try- What? If she doesn't shoulder. Kobayashi shudders as she tries to endure the pain. Kobayashi's so hot inside, I feel like I'm gonna burn myself. It's a nice tight fit, it makes me even harder. Hey, let's see some action from your groin. Or else you're gonna be all lonely down there. Ah, take it out of me. But I just put it in, you've gotta do a little better than that. So saying, I start moving my penis slowly. Stop moving like that, shoving noises. Stop doing that to her, please. Ah, I can't hold it in. Splash. No, the stimulation causes Kobayashi to lose control of her bowels. A hot spray gushes out from between the two girls' legs, and the steaming liquid splashes Mikimoto's body before soiling the floor. No way. Kobayashi is red-faced. She tries to endure the humiliation of what just happened. Oh man, what a tough cleanup job. I whisper this nonsense as I continue mercilessly ram Kobayashi's ass. With each thrust, Kobayashi and Mikimoto's body rub against each other, and this starts to make Mikimoto pant. Squish, squish, squish. She says, ah, that's good, that feels great. He says, ah, my butt feels hot. Or, hey, my butt feels hot. The two girls start moaning with pleasure each time I thrust. Despite all her protests, even Kobayashi starts to enjoy being rammed up the ass. Each time I pull out, my penis gets squeezed by her rectum, and it's enough to take my breath away. The unbearably tight quarters get me ready to come almost immediately. I'm gonna come now. Me too. I'm gonna come too. Greedily, all three of us ram our bodies against each other and climax in one burst. Squish, squish, squish. Ah, I'm gonna come. I can't hold it. Oh. At the moment of ejaculation, I pull my penis out of Kobayashi's anus. Glub, 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 squish, squish. All three of us climax at the same time and we lie there trembling with pleasure. Drunk with ecstasy from all the simulation, I come all over the two girls. Yep. Kobayashi's ass is soon soiled with my semen. Each another shot of my cum hits her. What? Each time another shot of my cum hits her, Kobayashi convulses. Heaving. I'm panting as I stare at the two girls, now sticky with the fluids I've just released. Hey, now give us back those photos. As I start to put my pants on, Kobayashi whispers to me, exhausted. Come on, we went this far for you. You should be okay with it. I guess I have no choice here. I chose the worst picture out of the batch I just took and tossed it at Kobayashi's feet. Just one? What about the rest? You got a problem with this? You should be thankful I'm even giving you one back. I don't believe this. Kobayashi is stunned by my words. You brought it on yourself. See ya. No, wait. I leave them with those words and beat it out of the room. The girls are both naked and can't come after me. Moron, as if I hand them over so easily. Sorry, girls, but this is divine punishment. I decided to hold on to the photos as insurance. As long as no one else gets their hands on them, it should be alright. And if I want to enjoy them privately, then I should have the right to. I'm just going to let them squirm with fear. That's just what they deserve. I take the photos from my pocket and separate Nanagusa's from Kobayashi and Mikimoto's. I intend to give Nanagusa her photos back. But then I stop and think it over. Who says I just have to hand them over like that? Photos like these aren't easy to come by. I might as well keep some for myself. I then pick out a few of the best photos and put them away in my pocket. I'm sure she won't notice a few are missing. On my way back to the classroom where she'd been tortured, I spot Nanagusa trudging down the hall. She has a totally blank look on her face. She's stumbling along like a sleepwalker. But as soon as she sees me, she comes running in my direction. Minase. The photos, did you get them? Oh yeah, I got them back, just like I said. Hearing this, her face brightens. For real? Thank you. Here, I take Nanagusa's photos from my pocket and hand them to her. Thank you. Wait. Nanagusa's face darkens a little as she looks through the photos. Weren't there more? Damn, don't tell me she noticed. Yeah, that's all I found. I frantically try to keep my composure. Maybe I took too many out? Oh, really? Well, thank you. Nanagusa doesn't look completely convinced. She puts them away in her pocket and bows her head. And I warn those two not to come near you again. Okay. Okay, I'm going home now. I avert my eyes from Nanagusa's gaze and hurry off. That was close. I have a feeling she's onto me. But it's too late for me to give them back now. Oh well, as long as no one else sees them, there shouldn't be any harm. I make sure to get spotted, that I don't get spotted by Amari as I rush off school grounds and head home. I head to my room and hide the photos in a drawer. If Amari ever finds them there, there'll be hell to pay. So I lock the drawer to be safe. After I've had dinner and taken a shower, I sit at my desk and open my book of magic. I still haven't even translated a third of the book yet. I start translating, just as I had the previous day. Now I know without a doubt that this book is genuine. As I head deeper into the book, I find more and more powerful and alluring spells. I turn the pages like a person obsessed as I search for the most effective spell. I'm looking for information on the ceremony from 12 years ago. My gut tells me that this ceremony is the most powerful and exalted one in the whole book. I'm convinced it is. Turning the pages, I look for the page about that ceremony, although I'm also anxious to get into the core of this book. After I've turned a good number of pages and scanned numerous subjects or headings, I finally find what I'm looking for. At first, I just notice that there are small stains here and there on the page that I haven't seen elsewhere. I read the title at the top of the page. Gate Opening Ritual? There's something written in Latin at the top. Enter ye into a straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in threat in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And below that the text explained in the ritual. Thou shalt open the gates if thou hast courage, and I shall summon for thee a powerful army of wraiths, and thou shalt command them, and I shall bestow upon thee the power to do as you wish. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, thou shalt become the Lord of Hell. This is it. It's gotta be. It was a spell to summon a demon. Clearly it was for a different purpose than the other spells. If this really was the page in question, then these stains are probably blood. And they're also proof that this was the last ritual. I immediately start reading about this gate opening ritual. I can see that there are all these methods and liturgies for summoning demons. Or liturgy, rather. A ritual to open the gate to the underworld and summon the devil. It's a fact that these students from 12 years ago died during this ritual. What on earth happened that day? What did they see? Right now, I don't have the least idea. I start summarizing the page bit by bit. I can see that the page covers everything from how to draw the symbols for the ritual to a list of the relevant liturgies and finally the necessary chants. The symbol is a basic diagram of a circle and a triangle. It has God's names written on it. It's the same one I found written on the floor of that basement room. The ritual was carried out according to this book. If that's the case, did the ritual fail? Or else could the instructions in the book be wrong? Well, I wasn't going to find out just by thinking about it. The ritual was held 12 years ago, and the result was what I'd seen in the basement. That's all I know for a fact. I immersed myself into translating everything about the ritual and making a set of detailed notes. If what the book claimed was true, then one could obtain the greatest power and wisdom there ever was. The forbidden fruit. That's exactly the kind of power it was. And if I could get my hands on it, I might be able to command the kind of power and wisdom that would make this book of magic seem like nothing. I lose all rationale with this thought and continue my work, not even stopping to sleep. We're on day 4. Just wake up. It's morning. Hurry up. Russell. Okay. Now that was the third day. We saw a lot of H in that one, and there's really no H on day 4. So, unfortunately, there's not going to be much going on next time, but you got a lot of H this time around. And day 5, of course, we definitely do have some H. Day 6, we have a lot of H. Day 7, we have H. Day 8, H. There's a lot of H, there's a couple days without it. But we're getting through it, guys, and I appreciate your support of Bible Black. I know I'm a little tired, but I managed to get through it anyway. And we will continue to go through this path, which is the evil path that I rather enjoy a little bit more than the main path. At any rate, folks, this is the Grim Lord, and I am out of here. I'll see you guys later.